Sinners cannot approach him uninvited. There is need for a priest, a sacrifice, in order for us to approach the presence of God, one who's wearing the right clothes and has the invitation. And that, brothers and sisters, is not ours by our own right. We dare not look with the presence of God in this house, or as you gather with his word in your home, with any disdain. But it's only by grace that Moses was called to serve. It's only by grace that I am called to serve in his name and share his word and shepherd his flock. It's only by grace that our district or synod presidents are involved with ministry and can serve in his name. It's only by grace that you can come into God's house and stand in his presence and offer prayers and praise with your sacrifices of lips of praise. And it's by grace we have access. There is one who could approach that altar. And he was a priest like no other. A priest who would approach in perfect reverence and holiness before the very throne. A priest who offered up the perfect sacrifice on behalf of God's people. And now the door has been opened to a life without contempt. There's no contempt as you view your fellow brother and sister, whether they're a pastor, a teacher, or someone who serves in the church, or someone who supports with their prayers and offerings. All of us approach God by grace and through Christ and through his sacrifice.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. March 23rd, 2025. Number 16, verses 23 to 40.
Contempt is common in a lot of different circles. You can see contempt happening, perhaps if you watch the presidential inauguration, as one of the persons showed up wearing the same clothing that I wear when I raid the fridge at 2 o'clock in the morning, obviously showing his contempt. Or when someone else came to a prestigious award ceremony for celebrities, they were all wearing tuxedos, but he showed up wearing his Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops. Once again, showing contempt, at least by the way he presented himself or regarded the event. And contempt is found in many different circles because it's part of our human nature to show disdain, to look down on others. And yes, contempt even happens in the sphere of God's kingdom and within his church. So how does God respond when his people, those he's invited into his presence, begin to display or show a degree of contempt? Well, we see how he responds as we look at this morning, Numbers chapter 16. And there we find a very striking event. There is Moses standing with the Israelites and people coming apart from others. There's a split in the camp. And with two Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, many others have sided and gathered. And they have defied the Lord. And so Moses is telling them and warning them, step aside from the tents of Dathan and Abiram as those men and their families and children all stand in defiance, showing contempt for Moses and his leadership and for Aaron as the high priest. You see, they had shown that contempt as, along with Korah, one of the Levites, and many of the followers of Israel, 250 in fact, of the prominent leaders, had displayed contempt as they stood against Moses and said, "You've gone too far, Moses. You're no better than us. All of us are holy. We have every right to perform these sacrifices and do the things you do. Why do you set yourself over us?" And that's how we get to that scene where they're divided and Moses is facing them off. But then again, contempt we see is nothing new for the people of Israel, is it? When they came out of Egypt, how long did it take for them to grumble when they saw the army of the Pharaoh and the Egyptians coming after them? And they turned against Moses right away. And even after they experienced God's rescue and they passed through the waters, and passing through the waters, they found themselves rescued from their enemies. Still, they quickly showed contempt as they found no water to drink. In fact, it got so bad they were ready to pelt Moses to death with stones. And their contempt grew as they said, "We detest this miserable food," though God gave them what Paul calls that food and that water from Christ. And they showed contempt over and over. Finally, they got to the promised land, and They once again showed disdain as they said, we can't do this, we can't take this land. And they refused to go in and take it. And when Moses told them they'd gone too far, and God had decreed they would all, those who had rebelled, they would all end up dying in the wilderness for the next 40 years. And only those that were younger than 40 would make it to the promised land. Then their contempt grew all the more as they said, you can't tell us what to do. We're going to take the land. And they failed miserably. And that brings us to what we read today. As the people of God, during that time of wandering in the wilderness, once again show their disdain for Moses. And they stand against him because they didn't get what they want. Isn't that the way it often works when the people find that their spiritual leader doesn't give them their immediate gratification that they can turn against them? So Moses found the opposition of 250 prominent leaders, the sons of Korah and the Levites and others standing against him. When this happened, we read in Numbers 16 how God responded. The glory of the Lord appeared. God was ready to destroy all of Israel for this display of contempt, save Aaron and Moses and their families. Moses pleaded for them, and then the test came as God designed and presented a test for them. Moses told the people, all right, you want to present yourself before the Lord? You want to function as a priest? Here's the test. Bring a censer, a bronze censer, and appear tomorrow before the tent of meeting, that is the tabernacle, and see if God will accept your offering. And two men, along with their families, Dathan and Abiram, refused even to listen to the test. And that brings us to that standoff that we saw, that display of contempt. How would God respond? Moses challenged them, but they stood defiantly. You know, contempt is something that I think all of us struggle at to some degree. You don't have to be in some prestigious place. It can be with your family, your parents, even your parents as they begin to teach you God's word, or it can be found within God's church. And I know how it goes, the feeling that why should someone else be in charge? Or maybe we begin to think I deserve by my own right to stand before God. Sure, I have completed my classes at the seminary just like others. I deserve to be here. Dare I make such a claim of my own accord? Or I might look at some of the other people in our church body and say, well, I could do so much better than someone like the current district or synod presidents. I could be better than them. Dare I look on them whom God has called with contempt and think that I could take their place when God has not called me to do so? What about you? How do you view those who serve in God's church? Maybe you begin to think that if you serve on the board or the council, that you've got a pretty high position. You have a right to sway with your way and have your voice heard. And maybe you're there because you're the best or because God needs you. And we begin to look with contempt and look down on others around us. Or maybe even in some way we're giving offerings or supporting the ministry and we think that somehow we are holy of our own right. God's response, as the sons of Korah think they can approach him, and as the people around Dathan and Abiram think that they have a right to take and usurp Moses, Moses says, all right, if these men die a natural death, then God didn't send me. But if something extraordinary happens, then you'll know. And it says, immediately, when Moses had finished speaking, the earth opens up. And it swallows them. And with their screams, the rest of Israel flees in terror, recognizing what has happened, that God has spoken. And the people who were there offering their incense before the tabernacle suddenly were consumed as fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The Lord had spoken, and the Lord made clear, no one can force their way into his kingdom. No one can stand before him and look with disdain on his word and on his servants. And so God made a clear message for us. The Apostle Paul tells us that these things that happened were for our learning. He says, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our forefathers, that is, the spiritual forefathers of the Corinthians, were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink. That was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. These things happened to them as examples and were written down for us, on whom the accumulation of the ages has come. We also have been baptized. We have been washed and connected to Christ. We've been delivered from our enemies, not just slavery in Egypt, but sin, death, and the devil. We have been fed by Christ as he gives us himself, spiritual food and real food. And we, just like the people of Israel, need to remember, if we think we're standing firm, or if we think we have attained a high position because of our own holiness, we need to look to what has happened to others before us, to stand before God, not with contempt or disdain, but rather with reverence, with thanksgiving, and with awe. And God reminded the people of that as he designed for Eleazar to take those bronze censers, scattered among the ashes of those burned up, and to take the bronze and inlay it over the altar. You know, had the people forgotten? Had they forgotten what God was telling them as he set apart himself? The Levites were set apart to have a privileged role in God's kingdom. Outside the Levites were camped the rest of the Israelites. The Levites were separated from the presence of God as the courtyard of the tabernacle separated them from the altar. And even those who could go in towards the altar had to wash their hands before they could go to that inner sanctuary to offer incense. And that inner sanctuary where they offered the bread of the presence was further separated from what was called the most holy place. And within the most holy place was a box, the ark, containing the word of God. And further covering the ark with the wings of the angels carved over it, shielding it from eyes. And only the high priest, and only once a year, could sprinkle blood on that box, that ark. I think God was making it pretty clear. Sinners cannot approach him uninvited. There is need for a priest, a sacrifice, in order for us to approach the presence of God, one who's wearing the right clothes and has the invitation. And that, brothers and sisters, is not ours by our own right. We dare not look with the presence of God in this house, or as you gather with his word in your home, with any disdain. But it's only by grace that Moses was called to serve. It's only by grace that I am called to serve in his name and share his word and shepherd his flock. It's only by grace that our district or synod presidents are involved with ministry and can serve in his name. It's only by grace that you can come into God's house and stand in his presence and offer prayers and praise with your sacrifices of lips of praise. And it's by grace we have access. There is one who could approach that altar, and he was a priest like no other. A priest who would approach in perfect reverence and holiness before the very throne. A priest who offered up the perfect sacrifice on behalf of God's people. The one that all the previous sons of Levi foreshadowed as they served in the temple. And you now have access to God through him and through his sacrifice on the cross. You now who have been baptized, have been cleansed of your sin and clothed with the righteousness of Christ. In baptism, as you saw earlier today with Penelope, we no longer come before God of our own accord, but we are cleansed by him and stand robed in his righteousness. And we don't have to assert ourselves to come before him and praise him and worship him. He invites us in grace to offer up prayers of thanksgiving and songs of praise. And now the door has been opened to a life without contempt. There's no contempt as you view your fellow brother and sister, whether they're a pastor, a teacher, or someone who serves in the church, or someone who supports with their prayers and offerings. All of us approach God by grace, and through Christ, and through his sacrifice. And you don't have to worry. Fire will not rain down from heaven in judgment. But rather, when God comes, the earth will give birth to its dead. and we will rise and clothed in righteousness before our God forever. We will live without contempt, without disdain, and with thanksgiving, reverence, and praise in the kingdom of our God. Until then, as we live our life of worship, as we serve our God in our various vocations and roles, we live because of Christ, without contempt.